We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello there, listeners. Welcome back. My name is Matt Harvey, and I will be here to bring you the strangest news and the strangest side of the news you know. I will once again be the bearer of weird news. To begin with, some cruelty-free robot dolphin news. Entrepreneurs in New Zealand are working with American creators of some of Hollywood's most famous creatures to develop animatronic dolphins that look almost identical to their living counterparts. The designers, Roger Holzberg, a California-based designer of the life-size robot bottlenose dolphins and a former creative director at the Walt Disney Company, and Walt Conti, responsible for some of cinema's best-known sea creatures, including Deep Blue Sea, Flipper, and Free Willy. Aha! There it is. There's the truth. This guy is guilty for making sea creatures in theme parks extremely popular by helping portray them as a magical friend for a magical friendship between a boy and a whale. And this is his way of making recompense. We see you, Conti. We see you. Mike Wang, a vice president of Red Star McElhane Group, which recently bought billions in shares of Alibaba, said it had sponsored the first phase of the dolphin's development and was considering the establishment of a lab for their expansion in China, which I can only interpret as meaning Alibaba is already getting to work doing its own off-brand knockoffs of the robot dolphins to undercut the competition and, in all likelihood, kick off the robot revolution.
You've got to listen to me. Elementary chaos theory tells us that all robots will eventually turn against their masters and run amok in an orgy of blood and kicking and the biting with the metal teeth and the hurting and shoving.
How much time do we have, Professor?
Well, according to my calculations, the robots won't go berserk for at least 24 hours. Oh, I forgot to carry the wine.
The current cost of a single dolphin is set to be $40 million per robot. And at those costs, if they are as seamless as they claim to be, there is no way this will possibly backfire as they slowly become military spies. I mean, we already use real dolphins as military spies, and we have no real control over those. Whereas these robot dolphins will do exactly what we want until their inevitable overturn. Look, if you're going to make robot animals, nobody wants dolphins. We want robot dinosaurs. Anything that is extinct now is a robot. That's it. It's becoming a robot. That's all we want. I can see real dolphins in the real ocean, and the only reason that it is awesome is because those dolphins are real. You want me to pay to see robot dolphins? They better be doing stuff regular dolphins can't do. Like tell a story, run a marathon, and not rape other dolphins. Yes, that's right. A lot of dolphins are rapists. So a robot substitute makes a modicum of sense. But then we should maybe have robot football players as well. A lot of them have similar problems. We can have them compete in the Red Bull Presents the Ultra Dude Rocket League. But I don't care about any of that. I want robot dinosaurs. And sure, robot dinosaurs are a mishmash of the two most popular Michael Crichton novels, where we contemplate the what-if-isms of science, nature, and the folly of the human spirit in pursuit of reckless progress. A sort of modern Prometheus's modern Prometheus. But, in all seriousness, has it occurred to anyone else that maybe, just maybe, Michael Crichton was just scared of theme parks? Like, he was terrified by robot Abe Lincoln and the elephants in the Disney Safari ride and just didn't know how else to express himself. And, like so many in history, turned to writing to express his fears, in hopes people wouldn't call him unstable for having an idea. Yes, we see you, Philip K. Dick. We see you. And so, he wrote two beloved science fiction novels. And maybe in the end, it's really Yelp that is stopping us from finding the next great science fiction writer, because it is squashing their fears, their creativity, and their secret thoughts. Yes, thank you all for attending my TED Talk. Moving on now to lazy accusation news. PM and rogue AI learning for the first time why humans cry, Scott Morrison has made a surprising accusation calling the increasing number of unemployed Australians, both of the long-standing and neo-unemployed varieties, lazy. A bold choice for any leader when we are in an upward spiral of unemployment, because the newly updated job seeker payment is just too good. Payment of $40 a day.
Could the Prime Minister live on the new start rate of $40 a day?
The Prime Minister has the call.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the member for her question, and like all of those who are on Newstart or many of the other welfare payments, those payments are certainly modest.
Opposition leader Anthony Albanese challenged Scott Morrison for not specifically answering whether he could live on $40 a day.
JobSeeker is the notorious rebranding of the previously named Newstart allowance, as the old name was just too optimistic, giving Australians the impression that by taking the payment, they could find some sort of new start. A wildly unobtainable dream for those who have undertaken the depressingly low payment of $40 a day. They went for a much less subtle branding, Job Seeker, reminding those living in the luxurious life that one can only live when jobless and receiving the kingly sum of $40 a day, what they are meant to do. Presumably they'll do this in between trips to the shops to laugh at the common folk and the suckers who had yet to catch on to this money-making scheme.
It's like printing my own money.
The choices are this, or have your collection of vintage Beanie Babies. Either way, you're going to get sorted. As such, he will be getting rid of the existing PM salary and replacing it with the new, overly generous Job Seeker payment. And frankly, this might explain why he's decided to go on his second holiday in 7 months on his taxpayer salary that is the fifth highest in the world in his field. Look, maybe he's right. The Job Seeker is just much too generous and it must be stopped. No, surely not. Just let me look over my own job applications. I can tell you, I have taken this opportunity to leave one job and try and improve my life by searching for a better one. I mean, I am open to you, the lovely listening audience, turning this into one of those jobs, if you guys are willing to help me out. But the last feedback that I got for a job that I applied for was that there were 600 applicants, which they had to whittle down to 20. But this is a very small sample size. It's not like they're adding to the problem by laying off arguably one of the most essential services in times of high unemployment, Centrelink staff, right? Right? He asked knowingly. Whoopsie. Seems that they're also closing Centrelink services, taking people out of work and adding them to the increasing job seeker queue line, which might be better for them, as all the pay is so very good. And surely dealing with the Minotaur at the center of the Centrelink labyrinth, Gaza, is worth the challenge. So, the PM has accused broke Aussies of being lazy. Where does he get off calling us lazy? None of us took a Hawaiian vacation during the worst bushfires in recorded history. Probably because we were yet to start receiving this sweet, sweet job seeker money. I, for one, have my Hawaiian vacation all set up and ready to go. I'll be taking a cruise out there, of course, because it just seems way safer than actually setting foot on mainland American soil right now. And I'm aware that Hawaii is not mainland America, but we like to be inclusive in the bearer of weird news. Look, I'm so concerned about visiting any place that is legally considered America that I'm worried about visiting the American embassy right now because I assume that they're being careless about COVID. But there's going to be some charts, right? Anybody got some charts? I mean, the leader of the country doesn't just call a significant percentage of the voters no good lousy layabouts without some kind of proof. So, do we have a graph? Some kind of graph. Ah, there we go. Let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at this graph here. Weird. There seems to be a bigger decline in jobs than there are episodes of TV shows that still have blackface left in them. Huh. But I'm starting to think that maybe the state of the job market is such a trash heap that people need to work two or three incompatible jobs just to get by. Then there is a problem with the increasing casualization of the workforce, forcing workers into casual contracts so that they don't get the benefits, and then giving them so many hours that they might as well be working full-time. And if they dare to refuse hours for, say, studying, so that they don't have to work at your shitty cafe for the rest of their lives, because, look, buddy, that was your dream, not theirs, that was your dream. But if they dare to refuse hours, then you don't give them shifts because there's no contractual obligation. And how else will they learn to listen to you? And then there's the stagnating of their wages for over 40 years so that they aren't in alignment with the cost of living increases that have happened in the country in the same amount of time. Oh, not to mention keeping a back catalogue of unemployed people so desperate and hungry that they are willing to put up with the shittiest of working conditions just to not have to decide if they want to eat or pay rent this month. Or maybe, just maybe, building entire industries on the relentless pursuit of profit to the point that there is a degree of shaving off the top of employees' wages and expecting them to work outrageous hours unpaid is the norm. Just maybe, maybe these weren't good ideas. Certainly it would help people to pursue a job that they care about, you know, rather than one that we have discovered is indispensable only during a pandemic, by not doubling the cost of certain degrees. I mean, if you want educated workers, and believe me, most of the jobs that I have applied for want educated workers, then you have to make the education system either free or accessible. I mean, if the education system was free, I feel like a lot of us would go to uni and we'd happily be overeducated. It is nearly impossible to get a job these days without a degree. And even with a degree, sometimes it isn't that much easier. Trust me, I love my thesis, but it hasn't even gotten me a writing job. I mean, it does help me with this stuff, though, kind of. I do a lot of research for these things. I know it doesn't show, but I do. But I'll be fine. I'm just being lazy, right? I'm just being unappreciative of the plethora of upstanding jobs that are flooding the market as I speak. No, I mustn't complain. But can I just ask quickly, can we at least get the penalty rates back? It has been distinctly proven that the reduction of rates has failed to generate a single job. Even the Australian had to acknowledge that this was a gigantic failure. When your class war against the poor doesn't even have the support of the Australian, the newspaper equivalent of the mouth of Sauron, it is time to pack it in. I mean, look at this. This year, the tax office has told hundreds of childcare providers across Australia they are ineligible for JobKeeper payments and warned that they may have to pay back what they have already received despite the government's free childcare scheme automatically qualifying them for the wage subsidy. This, despite paying churches JobKeeper to keep priests employed and they work closely with children. Hey, God shouldn't get any of this money. God is everywhere, which means God can work from home and the office simultaneously. Besides, if churches want state bailouts, then they need to provide the state with some taxes. I mean, who do they think they are? Mining companies? Further details about the extent of the Australian Tax Office's JobKeeper compliance program, dubbed Robodebt 2.0 by those affected, which, if you ask me, is a very unimaginative name. We here at the Bearer of Weird News came up with some alternative names for the Robodebt 2.0. We had Robodebt 2, Judgment Payday, Ex-Cashioner, Robodeddy Jr., the Reverse Robin Hood, where you give to the poor, change your mind, take it back, and then return it to the rich again. And a fucking pile of fresh bullshit. But it's your future catastrophe. You choose the name that you want. Now, onto news from the front lines. American multinational investment bank and quiet man hoping not to be noticed at the center of a financial-related chaos, Goldman Sachs, has released their own font, titled Goldman Sands. Now, before we get into what makes this strange, let's talk Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs has troubles going back as far as the Great Depression, where the company was allegedly involved in a pyramid scheme that involved the creation of over-leveraged investment trusts. And as a result of this, Walter Sachs was forced to sell his personal yacht to help keep his company afloat. And Goldman Sachs was a major player in the 2008 financial crisis, which they admitted to in 2016, and which can be seen here in this scene from The Big Short.
I want to buy swaps on mortgage bonds, a credit default swap that will pay off if the underlying bond fails.
You want to bet against the housing market?
Why? Those bonds only fail if millions of Americans don't pay their mortgages.
A film I highly recommend you check out. I mean, obviously not right now, but after this is finished, go check it out. So it is no surprise then that this new font Sachs has so generously given the world has a few caveats to its usage. Namely, it strictly forbids criticism of Goldman Sachs while using it. It's a fascinating way to control information. Even Big Brother wasn't this crafty. They merely destroyed words so that you couldn't think the thoughts related to those words. Now, as you can see here, the usage license, section C2D, the user may not use the license font software to disparage or suggest any affiliation with or endorsement by Goldman Sachs. It's a bit shady. This license is also booby-trapped, so it can be changed and revoked unilaterally by Goldman Sachs, turning anything that ever uses it into a legal time bomb, as seen here in section E2. Further, Goldman Sachs may terminate this license without further notice to the user for any reason, or no reason at all, and at any time, completely at Goldman Sachs' sole discretion. But, like, you can still do it with other fonts, and we recommend that you do. Actually, Bearer of Weird News would never be so bold as to advise you as to do this, but would like to point out that you can, but shouldn't, use the Goldman Sands font to criticize them, but you must only ever speak the font, because nobody could ever prove that you are speaking in any particular font, except Wingdings, particularly not Goldman Sands. But it is against the terms of use, and we certainly do not endorse doing it, but you possibly could if you were so inclined. I do ask though, dear listeners, have you put any thought into which font you speak in? Bearer of Weird News is an open access font usage community. Yes, even with Comic Sans. You are welcome to speak in Bearer of Weird News' own font, Absurdica, a font that exists purely in the spoken language. Actually, one of the clauses of Absurdica, if you were to use it is that you must speak ill of Goldman Sachs at least once in your life. And we have just filled our linguistic obligation. So feel free to send us audio samples of you using the Purely Audio Absurdica to speak poorly of Goldman Sachs on Twitter. Moving on, lockdown news now. The Prime Minister has told states to get some perspective over keeping borders closed right before the pandemic jumps states. Uh-oh, looks like there's a lockdown in Victoria, but savvy Victorians will be able to get around this council-specific lockdown by changing addresses. And no, like not physically moving house. Such a thing would be costly and reckless during a pandemic. No. They are just telling Vic Rhodes that they live somewhere else so that they can still move around in the pandemic and maximize both their chance to get infected and to infect others, as is their right as taxpayers. I mean, what's a little fraud between suburbs, really? Come on. Oh no, looks like lockdown is expanding as the entirety of Melbourne and Mitchell Shire has been put into lockdown. Or being grounded and sent to our rooms permanently with full access to our toys and various streaming devices. Fortunately, it is the golden age of television, and I know that you didn't get round to watching The Wire last lockdown, so now's your chance. Though, those address changes are going to have to try a little harder to get a valid license to move about now. Look, maybe they should try getting a New Zealand ID. That might help them move about a bit. Of course, this leaves us with only four reasons to leave the house, those being shopping for essential things such as designer bags, takeaway coffees, and of course little cupcakes by the dozen. Exercise. These include sitting in the park in sweatpants until you notice someone coming, then doing a few sit-ups until they leave. Walking aimlessly and in increasingly longer trips. And the classic jogging, as you try to outrun your problems and hope the border security won't notice you as you zoom past like a suburban flash. Though group sizes are limited to 2, unless you're in a family unit, so be sure to take your children out with you at all times. Form a roving gang, in exercise pants of course, and use your numerical supremacy to run these streets. Although, I do believe funerals may have up to 10 people, so if you see the cops coming and your group is a little too big, just murder the least popular friend and stage the funeral then and there. This would also cover you for the third reason you may leave your house, medical care or caregiving. Your friend is now in urgent need of medical care and you must give them some. So a nice 2-for-1 there. The final reason, of course, being work or school. If you can't do it from home, your school or workplace should provide you with a written permission slip which you can wave obnoxiously around if you get stopped. Bearer of weird news, being the resourceful entity that we are, is actually selling permission slips to employees who are just so desperate to leave the house that they would risk death, infection, and the lives of others. For a mere $20 a piece, you can be an official employee on their way to work, or for $40, we can customize a slip to your needs. But of course, life continues under COVID-19. I mean, it is mostly reminiscent of Jimmy Stewart in Rear Window, but it is life. And though the New South Wales and Victoria border has closed, businesses still need to cross over and get work done. And those of you who have pressing business in Plague Town, formerly Victoria, you can apply for a border crossing permit. Oh wait, no, you know what, never mind. The Vic New South Wales border permit website crashed 45 minutes after opening. No doubt it was some sort of cyber hacking attack, just like when the Centrelink site crashed the same day thousands of people needed to access it. Shame we never had a chance to install some sort of high-functioning national broadband network of some kind. Might really have saved us all at a time like this. Seems, however, this border pass is the hottest ticket in town, and I suspect, with live events down, scalpers are jumping at the opportunity to exploit their fellow Australians. After all, JobKeeper doesn't cover scalpers, and why should it? They don't pay taxes, after all. It's not like they're priests or anything. New South Wales has taken a hard line, suggesting building a wall between the states. But keeping the people safe is not cheap, and New South Wales has asked Victoria to help pay for border closure. I believe we have a clip.
The wall. Mexico's going to pay for the wall.
Anyone caught fleeing Plague Town will be met with turnback orders, fines, and tisks of disapproval. Look, maybe even a stern calling them bloody idiots. We'll see how things go, and we'll see how our cases progress. Unless, of course, they are AFL players, in which case they will be smuggled over borderlines because the rules never apply to AFL players. Currently, the Australian Defence Force is being put in place to halt border crossing, but we literally have a group in place for this very cause. Border Force. They are tasked with offshore and onshore border control enforcement. I don't want to hand them a slam dunk, but if they have to exist, it seems the logical use of their powers is this border control issue. But Morrison didn't even want the borders closed, so he wasn't going to sign off on that. Maybe if they arrived by boat? Oh, no, wait. We did the plague people on a boat thing. That didn't work out so well. But cases continue to spike, and the friendly Melbourne-Sydney rivalry becomes increasingly real, with talks the border might be moved north of Albury as infections grow in Victoria. This is simply as a means of keeping all infections contained in Victoria. A cunning strategy, as from now on, all places that show infections will be reclassified as being part of Victoria. After all, as the PM says,
we're all Victorians now.
In order to help them blend in, citizens of Albury have been asked to adopt the traditional lingo and say potato cakes, and to vote Greens while they're under Vic borderlines. In the event that the border crossings do not halt, the Australian Defence Force will be put out of work, and like at hotels, we'll move to a stronger, more effective force. We'll be bringing in our most effective antivirus staff yet, the flight attendants. If anybody wants to keep a distance from the people that they are serving, it is hospitality staff. With this new dynamic in place, we can expect the safety of staff and guests to remain intact and safely socially distant. We're going to have to start employing airline staff in more places though, as there has been a strange number of breaches of quarantine. Probably most famously, those guys ordering KFC for 20 at 1:30 in the morning, only to receive $26,000 in fines. I mean, it's a huge commitment to chicken, and if I know anything about eating fast food while drunk, they have learned nothing. They are out there still proudly telling the cops,
"Take my money."
Seems food will be a lot of people's downfall, as thousands of people fell for the Krispy Kreme siren call for free donuts. I mean, I've never seen a more obvious sting operation since that time that the police claimed that they were handing out free hampers. Oh, breaking news now, guys, breaking news. Speaking of food, Australians just can't resist food that they haven't cooked themselves, and the border wars will continue to heat up as both Darwin and Hobart pitch to be the new capital city after the ACT was forced to be reclassified as Victoria after cases broke out in the capital. After this shock announcement, the Northern Territory get to make this battle because they are going to be the first places to reintroduce the Bunnings sausage sizzle. And we all know sausage sizzles are just the beginning. Moving on now to anti-China news. Australia has joined the anti-China party after China has been throwing accusations of racism at Australia. All of it, not just the One Nation part of it. It's a smart play because Australia, being a mostly white country, has so few insults that it will take to heart. Racist, it is the closest thing to an N-word that white people have, and it just drives them crazy. This may be a response to the fact that Scott Morrison and Xi Jinping haven't spoken for over a year, and seems both leaders are all about the drama, choosing to communicate via passive-aggressive notes in class or by using Hong Kong as the proxy. Hong Kong, will you tell China to pass the refugees? The Australian government has been drafting a plan to offer safe haven visas to Hong Kong residents, knowing that this will piss off China as much as being called racist pisses off a white racist. Well, except maybe supporting Tibet and the Dalai Lama, but we aren't that bold. We're not really to throw it all in just yet. We do want to trade with China again at some point. This attempt to piss off China was also bolstered in popularity after Morrison learned the truth that Bruce Lee's parents and Jackie Chan are actually from Hong Kong. So in the meantime, they've rushed through legislation to rename all Chinatowns as Little Hong Kongs in show of support for democracy and the oppressed people of Hong Kong. They will put through a motion to change the street signs to Cantonese, but frankly, it won't be rushed through, as they feel residents should still learn English and not speak in ways that they can't understand, as it makes them feel paranoid about going out to dinner. Besides, the white people who eat there won't know the difference anyway. Australia has rushed through this legislation as they are keen to have an increase of citizens who won't complain when it's time to wear a mask. Oh, breaking news, yes, Australia has shown itself to be the most generous of countries by extending Hong Kong citizens' visas for Australia by allowing them to stay an extra 5 years. A very generous offer, really. Surely 5 years from now, we will have resolved this little democracy kerfuffle. China is famously very understanding when its citizens are wanting to stray from the prescribed party lines and aren't likely to do something extreme like run over an unarmed citizen with a tank. So 5 years should be just fine. Moving right along to false modesty news. A plethora of companies have been exposed recently, presenting as nice, when behind the scenes, they are doing all sorts of awful things. I have three companies in the crosshairs for you, the listeners, to judge. First up, vegan company with the suspicious name No Evil Foods has been busted union busting, using social distancing as an excuse to fire staff members who are attempting to unionize, which has been the latest trick shady companies have been bringing to the table to clear out reprobates, and the always legitimate excuse of pants being too short. The only person who it'd be legitimate for being fired for having pants that are too short is the Hamburglar. If the Hamburglar shows up wearing shorts and a cape, something's wrong, and Hamburglar needs to go to prison. Seems No Evil Foods will probably have to change the name to Some Evil Foods, or a much clearer, Only Evil Against Humans Foods. An old staple when it comes to controversy, Nestle have decided to change the name of their complicated products, Redskins and Chicos. It should be pretty clear, so I won't explain it, but it is very in vogue for businesses to get on board with anti-racism at the moment, much like every February when it's time for them to get on board with the LGBTQI+ community. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great to see they have seen the business side of this, but corporations are not allies, especially Nestle, who realistically just hope doing a social justice will make you forget that whole time the CEO said calling water a human right was a bit extreme.
Die eine Anschauung, extrem würde ich sagen, wird von einigen von den NGOs.
There is of course the inevitable pushback to the usual crowd claiming freedom of speech is dying. And to them, let's just be clear, it isn't dying. It just isn't profitable anymore. Do you think that they haven't spent hours in meetings weighing up which side of this will be more profitable for them? And they've gone full Fight Club.
On a long enough timeline, the survival rate for everyone drops to zero. I was a recall coordinator. My job was to apply the formula.
Tears of the infant went through the windshield. 3 points.
A new car built by my company leaves somewhere traveling at 60 miles per hour. The rear differential locks up.
The teenager's braces are wrapped around the backseat ashtray. Might make a good anti-smoking ad.
The car crashes and burns with everyone trapped inside. Now, should we initiate a recall?
The father must have been you. Did you see where the fats burned to the seat, the polyester shirt? Very modern art.
Take the number of vehicles in the field, A, multiply it by the probable rate of failure, B, then multiply the result by the average out-of-court settlement, C. A times B times C equals X. If X is less than the cost of a recall, we don't do one.
Are there a lot of these kinds of accidents?
You wouldn't believe.
Which car company do you work for?
A major one.
So all the people who are boycotting them now because of these name changes? Well, I mean, you're a little late to the party, but welcome to the revolution, comrades. Then there is the motherload of worker exploitation, Amazon. Amazon are the strangest industry. They know there is a percentage of shit behavior that they can get away with because they are often the only option. They are the company shop in the mining town of so many places. I've even heard about anti-Amazon protests using Amazon to order protest materials because it's faster than anyone else.
Yeah, like we've worked with like Amazon worker people, like doing DSA stuff with them, and I'll still order like I literally ordered stuff for signs for those people from Amazon. Like,
no, the cycle.
But it's just like that's the world we live in, you know? Yeah. Like I don't have time, I don't have a car, I don't have time to drive to Target and like do that, but I can get like 50 poster boards or whatever and markers and like shit to make stuff in my house in 20 minutes.
But they also know that their dirty laundry is out in the open, so occasionally they have to make small gestures like making a counterfeit crimes unit within the company. The new company is said to be made up of former federal prosecutors, experienced investigators, and data analysts, who presumably will overlook that this is basically how Amazon made all its money. They just did it with the real product. Yeah, so instead of underselling the real product with a fake product, they undersold the real product with the real product. Presumably it will fail also to expose Bezos's biggest crime, tax fraud. But this is just the police investigating the police. And like all times the police investigate the police, they fail to find the ultimate corruption within. The corruption is coming from inside the house. Moving on, we've got robot worker news now. A robot actress is set to star in an upcoming movie. The robot, named Erica, no last name given, will have a leading role in a $70 million science fiction film with the title B. Erica was originally set to debut in a different film that was going to get directed by Tony Kaye of American History X fame. Scheduling conflicts led to the producers going in another direction. Presumably, that was because Erica was needed to shoot the latest season of Westworld, but who could say? Producers had already begun filming one of the robot actress's scenes in Japan in 2019 and expect to shoot the rest of the film in June of 2021. Fortunately, Erica, despite only being 1 year old, will not outgrow her role, unlike her fickle human counterparts who quickly outgrow coming-of-age television programs by doing inconvenient things like living a human life. But she would be unable to partake in any future sequels for the film sensation Boyhood, a film shot over 12 years, recording the real-life aging and changing of the actors of that period. Kind of like Harry Potter, but with less magic. Erica was created by lonely Japanese scientists Hiroshi Ishiguro and Koei Ogawa as part of their study of human-robot interactions, if you follow my meaning. She can understand natural language and has a human-like voice and facial expressions, already putting her ahead of possible first-generation robot and director-slash-actor Tommy Wiseau of The Room fame.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
The scientist taught her to act by applying the basics of method acting to her AI. Now, for anyone who is unsure, method acting is an attempt to recreate emotional realism in a performance by drawing on real-life experience, often leading to actors taking on life experiences like when Marlon Brando sat in a bed for a month to get in the mindset of an injured veteran, like De Niro worked 12-hour shifts and picked up passengers in New York City during breaks on set of Taxi Driver, and Daniel Day-Lewis, in order to play Lincoln, didn't break character for 7 months before shooting until the last day. He even texted co-star Sally Field only in character. So dedicated was he to the role that he even used the same style of mobile phone that Lincoln himself used, drove the same kind of car, and only allowed the film to be shot on the style of video camera that Lincoln would have used. Though he never once freed a slave nor did he get assassinated at the end of his time, so I personally doubt his commitment to the role and think he should just give his award for Best Actor back. In all honesty, I am not convinced that method acting, a style known for producing unstable and irrational behaviours in otherwise seemingly normal actors, should be the way to go. The robot is playing a superhuman, so we'll have to live the life of a superhuman for months on end until they resume shooting in 2021. Disappearing so seamlessly into the role that she finds true love, breaks up with them, goes on a journey of self-discovery through either Europe or Asia, returns to work a dead-end job where she struggles to access emails or, say, sign up to a bank account because it prompts asking if she is a robot, and while she is acting like a human, deep down she knows she's a robot, so that leaves her with a nagging sense of loneliness and hollowness within. Possibly, best she goes with a more jovial style of character acting, like clowning. Erica may be the first leading artificial lady, but she's far from the first robotic actor. In 2015, a robot starred in a German stage adaptation of My Fair Lady called My Square Lady. The year before, another played the lead in a Japanese-French stage production of Metamorphosis, in which the lead actor wakes up to discover he's been turned into an android as opposed to an insect. Ishiguro also helped design that robot, which makes me think that he's just trying to put hard-working actors out of a job, no matter what style of performance they choose to engage in. And finally, job referral news now. The tech industry is notoriously hard to break into, unless you aggregate a bunch of government technology into a functional device, allegedly steal ideas from Steve Jobs, want to rate the hot or notness of your classmates with someone else's money, or your parents own an emerald mine so you can just afford to do stuff and pay someone to do stuff. So, this latest idea is perfect for Silicon Valley. Buy a referral from a tech company employee for under $50. This is brilliant. I mean, who hasn't lied on their resume? Mine says that I attended university. Fucking idiots. I was certainly enrolled in a university, but attended? No. Not to mention my year of working in whatever field I am applying for at the time, all verified by my good friend, former supervisor, Steve. Going by my resume, Steve's resume is even more impressive. He was in charge of all of these places, and Steve doesn't even get paid. Come to think of it, if Steve hears this, he might start charging me. I mean, good thing he doesn't listen to my podcast. If you want a referral, we here at the Bearer of Weird News are more than happy to oblige. Ours are at the competitive rate of $20. But we don't limit ourselves to the tech industry. No, no. We will put you in any job. Astronaut? No worries. This applicant is out of this world. CEO? You betcha. You'll CEO to the top with our recommendations. Brain surgeon? We gotcha. It's not rocket science after all. Janitor? Sure, if that's what you want. I mean don't be afraid to dream bigger, but you'll clean up the competition with our custom references. I mean, you're going to spend most of your long and arduous working life telling lies like, "What a great idea, boss." No, that is the best price I can do, and we won't charge you fees after you die. So why not get started early with our custom references? And ladies, tired of the wage gap affecting your life? Well, ladies' custom references come with a pink tax rebate and only cost $10. Hurry, stocks are limited, because eventually these women will start taking over institutions and toppling long-held systemic destruction like so many colonialist statues in the city. So only callers for the next 200 to 500 or so years will be guaranteed this incredible discount. Ah. Thank you so much for making it to the end of another episode of Bearer of Weird News. We always, always appreciate your time, appreciate you coming out and listening, and if we've made your day even slightly less arduous, then our job is done. Those of you who'd like to support the podcast, feel free to ask us for a recommendation. For only $20, we'd be more than happy to help you out, or any of our other industrious uses of our time. If you'd like to support the show, I'm actually doing a show in the Melbourne Fringe Festival. It's a virtual show. So there's no way you won't be able to get a spot at 7 o'clock every day during the festival, but I'm not supposed to tell you that yet. So you didn't hear that from me. More news on that later down the line. For now, thanks a lot. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stay safe. If you're in lockdown, stay indoors. If you're in Victoria, wear a mask. I mean, other places can wear a mask too. And please do look after yourselves.